We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You need to become a Saints Happy Hour patron. It's best Saints podcast and community in the world. You get every podcast without no commercials, early access to special episodes, and patron-only perks. You get to talk to my dad on Discord, and you get cool swag box delivered to your house. Go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today. That's the best commercial ever.
Welcome to the award-winning Saints Happy Hour podcast. Seriously, this podcast has won awards? American standards are dropping every day. The show features Ralph, the best host in the world, who can barely pronounce his own name, much less anyone else's.
Marcus Calloway.
Dave is that dude who loves taking bathroom breaks. He's mad about almost anything, so make sure to lower your volume when he speaks.
Put that freaking clown meme back up that I made. Jesus Christ.
Andrew has sources, watches tapes, and knows football. He rarely shows up on time and wants to commit crimes to help the Saints win.
Sean Payton would have done illegal things. Don't tell me I'm wrong, because you know it's true.
Oh, and there's also Kevin, who is great at doing mock drafts, but struggles to actually watch Saints games or have a functioning relationship.
Butteridge wants to know how the doctor's doing.
That ended.
Anyway, grab a drink, sit back, and enjoy the insanity.
All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour podcast. Thanks for joining us. We got a very special episode today. I wrangled he's a friend of the program. He's never been on the program, but he's a friend of mine. I'm on his show on ESPN 100.3 in New Orleans all the time. Gus Cattingill of the Sports Hangover. Gus, it's about time I had you on this show.
I mean, it's an absolute honor. The fact that you actually had me on the, what is it called again? No, I'm kidding. I know what it's all about, the podcast, man. Dude, first off, the fact that I'm on an award-winning podcast. I mean, that's how it has to be referred to, right? Like every time I have Todd Graffinini on now on the show, I always say Hall of Famer Todd Graffinini. So, I mean, when I have you on Wednesday, should I say award-winning of the Saints Happy Hour podcast?
Well, we've been lucky to win enough awards, but I think the people need to know this. And I say this with all sincerity. Like, the reason why I have a podcast and I'm on WWL TV in the morning and I write a column is because of this man right here, people, Gus Cattingill. He got me my first job at WWL Radio.
I don't think I did
in New Orleans. You forget. You've completely forgotten this, but this is the truth. It wasn't like a high school reunion, but it was like a Brother Martin event at like the top of the Mart. It was at the top of the Mart and it would go around in the circle. Mm-hmm. And it was like 2002, I think. And I was talking to you and we were catching up. I was like, man, you're on WWL, you know, I want to get in. And you were like, Buddy D needs a producer. Like, why don't you send me your resume? I'll send it to Buddy and I'll hook you up. And you did it. And like 2 weeks later, I'm working with Buddy. So like everything from this point forward, it's all, if you love the podcast, thank Gus. If you hate the podcast, blame Gus. But it's all your focus. You got me into this business. Like before, that's I crazy. Was just like banging on the door and trying to get in. And before we get to 2023 Saints stuff, and we got plenty of time for that. I want to talk about like Buddy D. He's passed away. And the late Kenny Wilkerson, too, has passed away. But, like, there's a segment of our listeners that are younger, but there's a segment that are older, and they know who Buddy D is. And, like, the magic when you worked at WWL, I remember my first day, Buddy D and Kenny Wilkerson, I go into the office, and they are just cursing at each other, screaming at each other. And I was like, oh, my God. I just, like, sat for, like, 50 minutes. And it was over – I think it was the the Manning Passing Academy, like Kenny was late or something and didn't get sound, and you would have thought Buddy D was going to murder him. And I was like, hi, I'm the new guy.
It was always a constant battle with those two, for sure. One thought it should be a certain way. And look, here's the thing. And I've always said this too, right? So there's two influences in my career that I would say have not only stayed prevalent, but kind of probably shaped what I do and who I am and how I see it, to be honest with you. So I started this whole nonsense 20-something years ago, 95, summer going to my sophomore year when WGNO became the ABC affiliate. And a friend of our family's was an employee over there, and he's like, hey, we're looking for interns. Like, they were just, they hadn't even done newscasts yet, right? So he's like, look, go ahead, do that. So I became Ed Daniels' producer. So let's start from that standpoint where, for me, if you know Ed, I mean, you know it all's Friday Night Football, the works, and he's a Cards fan for starters. So I'm a Cubs fan. So you knew we hit it off. He loved to make fun of the fact the other intern was a Jesuit guy. So I was Brother Martin. So he would hang a Jesuit jersey in front of my desk. I mean, he's just, but he was one of those guys like Buddy, old school, because he worked with Buddy, if you remember back in the day, Channel 6.
That's right.
And there's a certain way. I mean, there's a certain way. And being professional, being, you know, attentive to details, little things of that nature, being honest, and just there were certain things that I think I took from him. And it was interesting because when then I go on and work with Buddy and become his producer and get to learn with him, it was sort of the same way, you know, don't give me the BS. Tell me what you feel. Tell me what you do. And when you earn the trust of those two guys, then it really moves forward. And I remember feeling that way with my first job out of college and, you know, working with him. And I mean, dude, I got hired as a promotion assistant, you know, and in college I had gotten a Mississippi AP award, was calling games. I was doing all stuff. I'm like, I'm in. My first interview was Michael Jordan with Dan, you know, WGNO. I am on my way.
That's right.
First and only offer out of college was Laredo, Texas for $12,500. That was it. So I moved back home, and my girlfriend at the time was like, hey, WWL is hiring a promotions assistant. And I'm like, I don't know anything about promotions. My minor is coaching in sports administration. I've taken treatment of, you know, injuries, human anatomy. I'm like, what does a promotions person do? I'll tell you what they do, and you know this. I was the cool 95.7 cool daddy. I was the giant mascot. So
that's what people don't understand. Like when you're behind the scenes at radio in local radio, like
you're people from the scenes.
People were me. I was Buddy D's producer for like 2.5, 3
You started
seasons.
So much better than I did. I was a mascot, dude.
And I got a job in California at the Orange County Register running their high school website because I had done some stuff on the side for Kenny, and I talked my way into that job and used like the sad Katrina story because they all felt bad for me in California. Yes. And
we've
I got
all done it.
And they are like, they're like, why are you leaving? Why are you leaving Buddy D? You do post game show sometimes. You produce Buddy D. Why are you going to California? Why are you taking a pay cut? And I was like, a pay cut? I still live in my parents' attic. I'm getting on near 30. I live in my parents' attic. No. They live in Lacombe. I live in their old house in Lakeview. I live in their attic. I'm like, it ain't a pay cut, you know? But the thing is with Buddy, and I remember like when you get his trust, it was great. I remember
100%
when he would send Kenny out for people. Buddy didn't really go to practice by the time I was there. Kenny was like his eyes and ears, but he would go out to the Saints facility and do some live shows. And sometimes he had to do the coaching show, which Hazlitt wouldn't even come down. Hazlitt would do it from like his office.
Which is incredible. And Peyton still did that. I've never understood that.
Those
shows where he's literally upstairs in the media room, like shooting and aiming my microphone at a speakerphone. I'm like, he's upstairs.
He's upstairs.
Can he not walk downstairs?
What a giant, like, it's like that's people why ask me why I don't like Nick Saban. One of the reasons I don't like Nick Saban wouldn't get his security to walk through the recruiting bash thing to sit next to Buddy D and do the interview. We had to me and Corey Johnson had to haul all the mic equipment through the crowd. And I hate Nick Saban for that. But one of the things with this with Buddy D was we were sitting there and we're doing the show. And because he would start at 5 and he'd do like from 5 to 6:15 and then the Hazlitt show, or to 7:15, and Hazlitt would be 7:15 to 8, coach's show. So I'm in there and I won't name the Saints employee because I don't know. That'd be bad form. But Buddy D, he goes over to me. He goes, Ralph, he goes, they got a spy in here. And I want you to find out what he's taking notes on. And I'm just like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. They're like X-Files.
Yeah.
And I'm just like this. I'm like, this is nonsense. But I'm like, it's Buddy D. Like, what? Like, they tell me to do it and I do it. So he's like, what's he? So the Saints employee has like a note. He's got like a book that he's like pretending to read, like a binder or whatever. And I'm like, is he really? And he was writing down what Buddy D was talking about, like notes, and had like he was doing like one of those, like, you know, in like fourth grade where they teach you to do an outline.
Yes.
I swear to God, on my father's grave, this Saints employee had an outline of all of Buddy D's talking points of what he was being. And he had a yellow highlighter and he would highlight the really negative. I was like, oh my God, the Hazlitt Saints are never winning anything. They've spent more time on this outline than they did against the game plan.
Said that so many times. What people don't understand, and you understand too, they're in the Peyton era too. Like, especially early Sean. Late Sean, he chilled, and even he admitted it. But early Sean, oh my gosh. I can tell stories of him absolutely going after reporters for headlines. God. And you know this, writing, being a writer. That's right. You're not responsible for headlines. You submit your story to an editor. An editor creates
the headlines. Yeah.
And he went after a couple of reporters, man, in the past. We're literally, I'll never forget this. We're one day, it's like 11 something. And the old press box, which was not above where it is now in the terrace. And it was kind of where today's club level is. And you had like a breakfast buffet in there. We're in line getting it. And this reporter gets a phone call and in front of me, and it's Sean. It's 11:10. Like, they play at noon.
That's right.
And he just destroys him. And then you can hear it loud as day. It's every curse word you can think of. And it's the opening game of the season. The Saints are playing the Lions and Matt Stafford. And the headline was something sort of along the lines like fresh meat for the Saints defense and whatever. And he was worried that it was locker room material. And this reporter literally goes, he thought he was joking. So he's like, are you serious? And he's like, don't you have a game coming up? And then he's like,
have a game.
And then he explains that he's not responsible for the headlines. And then he goes on to explain it's 40 minutes before kickoff. At this point, I don't think they're reading the newspaper to get headlines to get angry. But dude, to your point, you said Saban. I mean, it's so funny how coaches and a lot of the things that we have to deal with in teams react to the point of it's almost nonsensical of worry about your stuff.
Yeah.
Like what Ralph writes on WLTV.com or says on this podcast, if that legitimately affects Derek Carr's ability to read a defense or Pete Carmichael's confidence to call plays in a game, they are bleeped. Are absolutely bleeped. If I'm influencing how they're running their organization, they are bleeped.
That's how I knew. That's why I knew last year was done, because I got a call and I was like, the Saints are mad at you. And I was like, I write a fan column for WWL. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm on the, I make jokes.
You caused it. It was your fault.
They decided
to have Alvin Kamara and everybody else that sells a jersey on the sideline in Tampa Bay.
They're like,
now we know. Thank you for letting me know that you were at fault for that Tampa Bay.
They're like, they don't like the fact that you write stuff and you go in the morning show and you're not at practice. And I'm like, I just make jokes. Like, I don't pretend to watch film, but I know Saints history inside and out. And I'm like making jokes. I'm like, if they care what I write, God help us. We're done. We're done here. Like, because when they win, they didn't care. But like when they win, it's like my column, I'm either laughing with the Saints or I'm laughing at them. Like, you know, but the thing with, to your point of with Buddy was, and I told another story. I said somebody, I think it was Cat Terrell or somebody said, name a moment where you were like, this is the coolest job ever. I remember going into 2004, I'm in the office and it's like me and Kenny had gone to training camp and get the sound. And I cut the sound and I would tell, like, I would go through Buddy. I'd be like, hey Buddy, these are the four sound bites that were decent. Yeah. This is what we're going to run. Bob Frost, the producer, this is what he's going to have for you.
Frosty.
And I'm like, here's the clips. And like, while we're going through that, he's got a barks. And he's got like a moon pies, and he's just crushing them. Moon pies. Buddy was the best. Although in his later life, he like cut it down. Like, it used to be like he was out. I heard stories of him being like out of control. But like in later life, he's way healthier. I'm like, really? He's drinking three barks and eating three moon pies. That's healthier. So we're doing that, and he's going over the set, and somebody comes in, you know, because most people would go into the sports office and they wouldn't want to talk to Buddy. And that's, they would exactly want to tell right them right their opinions right of yeah the same. Me, I would just be like, hey Buddy, I read Wayne Mack's book, Who Dat History. And I would ask him questions and I would just listen to it. So that's how I enjoyed Buddy. But people would come in and ask him, and he's just crushing these moon pies. Somebody, how are the Saints going to be this year, Buddy? And it's like middle of August. Like, they played like one preseason game. Yes. He goes, they ain't winning shit. And just continues on like this. It doesn't even break, doesn't even explain it, just says it like it's a commandment and you should accept it. And the person's like, okay. But that was my experience with Buddy. And before we get to that, I wanted to talk about your journey. You've done Pelicans, you've done Tulane, you did Summer League. What do you say the biggest difference in when the time you started and the time now in the world, in the world of like social media, Twitter, 24/7, everything access. What's the biggest difference, you think?
I would say that access to and from. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So as much as more fans have access and we have more access and we can provide different things and fans, I think, can enjoy it from different aspects, I also think it's the other way around. And, you know, it's kind of along the lines of where we're touching on, right? We're kind of having a little fun, but I mean, these are very serious things, and it affected relationships. It affected coverage. Teams that don't understand, embrace what is today, you're behind. Period. You don't have to like it. Right. I've always said this before. In my business, I've been lucky enough. And at times, you know, we get to be a boss, or we get to be the sports director, or we get to do whatever. And sometimes I remember the best times ever was when I went over at 106.1 Jason Ginty. I grew up listening to the Rod Ryan show, you know, and Ginty was on there Tube Tuesdays and all that. And now he's my boss. And he's like, I don't know anything about sports, dude. I'm running the rock station. You tell me what to do. And I love that. But what was so funny is, like, you know, being able to have that back and forth, but also understanding that. And the main thing, Ralph, to understand was that just because you have that and know that is understanding that if I don't know what a top 40 radio is, right?
Yeah.
Then, but at the same time, I'm going to find somebody or hire somebody that I can do that. So I may not know top 40 radio.
Yep.
So what I loved about Jason Ginty was him being able to say, like, hey, look, let's sit down, let's talk. You tell me what we do, where we need to go, cover things and do all those different aspects of it. But what I loved about that was just that understanding. So I bring that up because the point is, teams don't have to love it. You may not want social media. Coaches may not want all the access and all that other stuff, but understand it's here. So you either embrace it and you make it something that you can do something with, or you're going to be fighting it.
And then now
you're behind, right? And what I mean by that is, let's just take like today, or just let's take like where we are. I mean, there's certain teams, and Sean Payton was one, and Saints have continued it. Like, we can only shoot stretchy time now. And what's right. crazy is it's a fan day at practice today. Ralph, if you're not credentialed and you'll sit in the stands, the second all the cameras are put up and we have to put our phones in our pocket, guess what's behind us? Every fan doing this. So guess what they got to capture today? They captured an incredible catch by Chris Olave with Marshawn Lattimore, you know, defending him 30 yards away, right? Like,
yeah.
Here's my thing. And I understand where they're coming from. At the same time, it's kind of nonsensical.
Yeah.
The teams you're playing know the plays you're running. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like my photog at a TV station likely is shooting a tight shot of the snap, Winston back the pass, showing the football. Here is the spiral coming into the camera, Olave catching it, cut to the fans doing this. If the Atlanta Falcons or Tennessee Titans in week one can grab that and build a game plan to beat the New Orleans Saints, we're bleeped.
We're bleeped. Yeah, and the thing is, like,
do you understand what I'm saying?
It's no, like, I completely understand.
Instead of literally having your local media, having people that are posting, you know, videos and pictures, slow-mo of Michael Thomas catching it in 7-on-7 or team drills. Like, give us even the direction of they have to be tight shots. You can't show the coverage or the formation. But my point is that generates interest. That makes me want to go buy jerseys. That makes me want to go to games. So it's understanding where
if
technology is going
if I was
and doing
yeah
it, if, makes if, sense if, to you.
No, it totally
that's
does.
That's what's changed. That's what's changed.
If either, I was the same
in or you're not,
I would be like, listen, Dennis Allen, we're gonna live stream practice. And we're going to put three, we're going to do it three cameras and we can do it however you want to do it. So they're not going to get like coach's cam.
Sure.
Right. But we're going to do it like camera on the quarterbacks, camera on the running back drills where they're doing the footwork.
Right.
And like a team is going to do that. There is going to be a team come in the next, probably, I think in the next two, three years, that's going to be like, we're streaming practice and coaches are going, I can't believe they're doing that. And then fans are going to watch it. And like the nerd fans are going to be like, this is useless. Like, why do I want to watch Derek Carr in his drops?
No.
But you know what? Regular fans are going to be like, this is awesome. I get to watch.
Jeff Duncan today literally wrote his love likes and loves or lows, whatever that he did. And he literally said the same thing, Ralph. He's like, I can't evaluate because they're not in pads. I can't do that. So that's what I'm getting at. And again, you can control those things. You know, and that's what I mean by that.
It's right.
Understanding that and embracing it. The university's like, look at what LSU's done the last several years, right? Where, I mean, the game hasn't ended. And if it's an epic win, their social media team has a 2-minute video of the highlights. They've gone and got The Rock, Ryan Clark, to do a hype video on game day. Like, it's understanding things. And if you don't do it, you're behind. Because all it takes is what you just said. One team is going to stream practice. And guess what? Those revenues, those page views. I can go to Canes and instead of saying, hey,
well, for LSU, for LSU, it's a coolness factor, right? Like 2019.
Right.
Probably the biggest, most popular thing they did besides skull drag every team they played was right. What time I'm getting my hype video? Like, we were all like that. We were like, what time? Hey, LSU, when are we getting our hype video? Like, we got to get our hype video for this game. They did it every game and they just like ratcheted it. Like you said, every week they ratcheted it up. And it was as big a part of the season as the on-field stuff, which was 100%.
You look forward to it. And I mean, how many of those people got jobs after that too?
Oh my.
And, you know, and that's the thing. It's just embracing it and understanding. So I would say in the 23 years, 24 years, I lost track, Ralph, dude, of all of that. It is that now not only can teams directly communicate with their fans can express their like,
that's right,
or dislike by the play, by the call. I mean, we all saw last year, you know, I mean, if it's first and 10 and it's an incomplete pass, second and 10, 14, 36 left in the first quarter, we're ready to fire Pete Carmichael.
That's right. I mean, and that's the thing, like people, right. There is a segment of Saints fans.
100%.
That are casual and kind of like plug back in during training camp. Sure. We saw it with our podcast, our downloads and stuff go way up once training camp starts. But there's a ton of them that where they want their Saints news all the time. And it's, you know, one of our most popular things is we do breaking news. We'll do like Saints signed Jimmy Graham 15 minutes later when it's announced. I'm in my car recording a podcast.
There it is.
Our producer puts it up and we'll get more listens on that. The 5 minute like free version of it than like any podcast we probably do before the season, unless the Saints have some sort of news or trade.
Ralph, right there, what you said, not to interrupt you, that's the difference. When you started, when you worked for Buddy, when I worked for Buddy, you would have to wait till 4 o'clock.
That's right. That's right.
You'd have to wait till 4 o'clock. TV stations would have to wait till the 5 o'clock newscast.
That's right.
To be specific, 5:17 after weather. And you better pray that there isn't a thunderstorm because that's weather takes minutes from your sportscast. That's the difference. Where right now, look at guys like Nick Underhill with NewOrleans.football. I can literally take a step outside, press record, tell you Trey Turner is done for the season, tell you what it means for the Saints, tell you tomorrow's another day in practice, post it, and within 5 minutes, you literally have that news. That's the biggest difference right now.
These kids don't understand. You had to wait for the, like in the 90s. You had to wait for the paper.
You're absolutely right.
And like training camp stories were players were holding out because they didn't have free agency. So like when a player's contract would end, he would just not have a contract, but he couldn't be a free agent. So like for the Saints, it would be Bobby Hebert, you know, famously held out for an entire year, but like their linebackers, Eric Martin, they would just hold out because they didn't have a contract and they would negotiate with the Saints. And like, you didn't get, like, if that would happen, if they would sign and agree to it, you might get it in the paper. If it happened at like the middle of the day, right, you wouldn't know until the next morning. Exactly. It's like these kids, you're like, yeah, you had to wait for the paper and like read the paper.
You're right.
And you know,
box scores, Ralph, box scores. I mean, right now I can pull up a box score from my Cubs Cardinals game that I'm watching. You know, it's like, it's incredible when you think of all the different things that have come along. So I said, look, there's good, there's bad. There's a lot of it into it. But the point is that I think the biggest thing is you either have to, and look, it's the same thing in our medium, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ed Daniels, I saw him today post his podcast, things that he liked and didn't like about practice. I mean, TV guys have to write, you have to post, right? You mm-hmm. have to post on your That's website. Right. I mean, I've talked to him about it. Writers have to do video. So it used to be separated. You had guys in front of a camera, you had guys in front of a microphone, and you had guys at a keyboard. Now everybody does all three. And if you can't do all three, you're done. Period. End of story. If I can't post my observations, I can't write my observations, and then I can't come in front of some sort of camera and tell you my observations, somebody to the left or right of me just did. And guess where that advertising's going? Guess where that viewership is going? And guess what it is? Period. I mean, if you cannot do that, that's where it is. So adaptation would be the other thing that I would say, Ralph, that's changed since you and I started in this business. Yeah. If you can't adapt and understand, like I may not know that. I mean, I know the ins and outs. You better Google. You better call somebody. you better see how you're doing a podcast. How'd you do those graphics? What is StreamYard? What is this? What's a Shure mic? What is the Sennheiser? I need lighting. You can't do that. I mean, you're going to get left behind. That's just what it is.
Yeah.
Saints Happy Hour needs your support so we can keep giving you the Saints coverage you love. Become a patron to help us keep giving you the best daily Saints podcast on earth. Supporting Saints Happy Hour gives you the best Saints podcast every day without any stupid ads or promos like this one.
And patrons also get access to our private Discord channel where you can talk Saints 24/7, early access to podcast episodes, our world famous booze bundle with four amazing swag items. So do it. Go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today. That's saintshappyhour.com.
One last, before we get to 2023 Saints, one last Buddy D story. This was 2004 and the Saints were like four and eight. Right. Or 5-8, I think. And, you know, this was back when people don't understand now, like they used to have like an open locker room, and before Drew Brees, kind of, they would just have like an open day and like players would just go in front of their locker rooms and just talk. Right. Whereas now for like the Saints, they'll say like, hey, this is who you're going to get. And that's it. Or like Drew Brees would like meet the media like one time a week. Right. For like 15 minutes. Right. Back in like 2005, you just go in, right? And they'd have like open session. You just go from like stall to, locker to locker. And they had a guy that was interviewing Aaron Brooks from Virginia. And I forget where he's from, like Pilot, Virginia. I forget the small town. It was from that newspaper. And he was interviewing Aaron Brooks. And, you know, like reporters, like a lot of times when they're interviewing a guy, you know this, like you'll kind of ask the reporter, hey, can I just put my mic and just record, like, I won't interrupt your interview, but I'll just, right. Can I just record what you get? And I was just like, hey, can I, and I just kind of nodded him. He's like, yeah, you can. And Aaron Brooks did this like 25, 30 second rant of like, the owner came at us, the fans came at us, our own coaches came at us, the other team came at blah, bleepity, bleep, bleep, bleep. And the non-local reporter was like, hey, it's pretty interesting. And I was like, oh my God, Aaron Brooks has never said, he's never said anything really interesting in the 5 years he's been here. And he just ripped into Benson, Hazlitt, the owners, everyone. And
they practiced in a parking lot. I know. It's incredible. Yeah,
it was, but this is 04. So this is before Katrina, right?
Yeah.
And I got it. And the thing is, you know, this is like, when you get something and you're working in media, when you have it and you're like, fucking have it, like, you know, you have the goods of audio and you've done that because you did it a ton of time. And I remember walking to Kenny Wilkerson and I'm like, Kenny, listen to this. And he's like, I'm doing something. I'm like, no, Kenny, stop and listen to this. And I played it for him and he immediately calls Buddy D and goes, you are not gonna believe this. And I remember just being like, that's a moment where you, when you work in media, like, I don't think that would be possible now with the way media is because of how they do the locker room and stuff.
Yeah.
What was the
closest? I was going to say the closest thing would probably be what you just saw this week with Sean Payton to the USA Today reporter and dropping that. And my gosh, ESPN couldn't show that screen enough this week, right? About his comments to where he had to come and do a mea culpa and
I shouldn't have done it.
But you're right. That's close. Cause most of the time, you have everybody there to kind of do that. I don't know, man. I would say I'm trying to think of what was a time like that for me. Man, I'd have to think about like one of the, oh gosh, did they really just say that? But I don't know. I mean, to me, it was just really probably the first interview. And it wasn't like an, oh my gosh, did that just happen sort of thing in a bad way. It was just, I don't know if it was dumb luck or dereliction of duty. If you ask TJ Pipitone, photographer of Channel 4, he'll tell you it was dereliction of duty. He forgot the batteries. It was literally the day after the Bulls won a championship against the Suns. Michael Jordan is playing at Eric Martin's charity golf tournament at Lakewood Country Club in the West Bank. I'm there with Jeff Peterson, who's Ed's weekend anchor reporter guy. And we're there, and I'm like, I'm not leaving. I'm a Bulls Cubs fan. I'm like, I'm the intern, by the way. I just started.
That's right.
And TJ's like, I need batteries in the car. I'm like, okay. I didn't move. And Jeff's like, I'll go get it. No worry. And TJ's like, you're the intern. Are you really making the anchor go? I'm like, dude, I just, and he's like, wow. And TJ gave me this look. To this day, I guarantee you, he'll look at me and be like, I can't believe you did that. Well, Ralph, of course, not a minute after Peterson left, the door opens from the locker room. Now, we're the only TV station. Ed got tipped off. We're the only people there. Michael bleeping Jordan walks out, like the height of his three-peat. And TJ grabs the mic, gives it to me, and goes, start asking him questions. So he walks out, and he sees the camera, and he's just so pro. He puts his arm around me and goes, what you got, man? And I just, so what's it like to be here? And he's like, walk with me. So we walk to his cart. I'm asking away, you know, and I start with the why he's here sort of thing, you know, and why, you know, I mean, like, hey, I mean, I like, are you tired? Because you just played a championship last night. Like, why are you here? You know, sort of thing. And he described how, you know, Eric's a good friend and why he was here and how it just matters to him. Get in the cart. So TJ shooting us, we're driving to the driving range from the warm up. And I'm in the golf cart with Michael Bleeping Jordan holding a mic. And that was my interview. So my career has gone downhill since then.
Downhill? Just, no, it
but,
has not.
But literally, it was dereliction of duty. I mean, I should right. have. Absolutely. I would have mother bleeped my intern if he didn't go get a battery. And I had to go get a battery. But I swear to you, my interview with Michael Jordan, my first ever interview in TV, was because I failed to go get a battery for the camera.
There you go.
For the photographer.
I got yelled.
I should have done it. I should have
That's
done
amazing.
It.
That's
amazing. But I did.
That's yeah, amazing. That's amazing. I got yelled at by Jim Hazlitt one time. They sent me, like, when the Saints did like an OTA or a mini camp, like during Jazz Fest, and no one wanted to go. So like they sent me and the cameraman, right? And Jim Hazlitt's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, kind of.
I am. Yeah, exactly.
I'm like the assistant.
Let me tell you something about Jim Hazlitt, dude. My favorite time, and this was obviously in the old media room too, which was actually by that door. You remember right by the parking lot where it was, man. I mean, it was the thing about Jim Hazlitt that was great was Jim Hazlitt was Jim Hazlitt in front of the mic and camera. And then the real Jim Hazlitt was when the mics and cameras turned off.
That's right.
Do you remember that?
That's right.
That guy was literally like you're having a beer with at a bar, and the amount of language and what he did.
He'd be the greatest.
He couldn't stand Michael Vick or the Falcons.
Jim Hazlitt, if he would just.
He was a football player. He's a football player. Yeah. I mean,
he have the greatest podcast ever.
100%.
Like if he would get the right host. If they would get him with the, like, if ESPN would hire with the right host and ask him the right question.
And you know the stories.
And yes, right. Some of them, Jim. We won't tell all of them.
We won't tell all of them.
But some of them, he would be amazing. Like, you'd need the right host that would just be like, they would have to know enough and do enough research and then get out of the way.
But Ralph, that's why I love what Peyton did this week. Like Ryan Clark going after him and Peyton have to say, I'm sorry. You know, I loved what Sean did. I'm okay with it. And I said this today on my show. I loved the Jimbo Saban thing last year.
Yes.
Saban called him a cheater. And Jimbo Fisher is like,
has an emergency press conference the next day.
Don't call me a cheetah.
It's so good.
How dare you call me a cheetah? I mean, like, I love that. I want coaches to go after one another because you know why? Because the fan bases do. The fan bases don't care for the other fan bases.
Oh my God.
So I love when Sean Payton's doing the choke thing at the Falcon game. I love that. Don't apologize.
Oh my God.
Because it was a terrible job by Hackett.
It's like,
you know, what's his name?
Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah, exactly. He's a bum. He got fired for a reason.
Do you know how bad you have to be to get fired?
Dude, they were bad.
You didn't make it through the first year.
They couldn't literally call a play. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's not wrong. You know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I love that. I wish he would have doubled down. I wish today after practice to be like, tell Ryan Clark to show up the camp. I'll sit down and watch video with him and tell him I was. And by the way, in that his job, Ryan Clark crushes everybody. Ryan Clark called for Nathaniel Hackett's job to be fired. He every day when ESPN tells him he has to go off on Russell Wilson and it's time for Dak Prescott, literally every single day this coming football season, Ryan Clark's job is going to be to rip somebody, call for someone's job, or defend somebody. I mean, whatever. Yeah, and you're going to tell me, well, it's the coaching profession. We have to have our own little stop it.
You need to become a Saints Happy Hour patron. It's best Saints podcast and community in the world. You get every podcast without no commercials, early access to special episodes, and patron-only perks. You get to talk to my dad on Discord, and you get cool swag box delivered to your house. Go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today. That's the best commercial ever.
I love... Half the coaches can't stand each other. I mean, it's a competitive thing.
If you listen to that podcast, The Play Callers, like they are nonstop workaholics, egomaniacs. And the thing is, like, Sean Payton makes it fun. Like, that's the thing. Besides the winning, obviously, like Sean Payton put the Saints in the news cycle where 100%. Like Denver, if you had whoever as your coach, no one, like you wouldn't be in the news cycle. Now, every time Sean Payton opens his mouth, every time he goes on Dan Patrick because he's got a side product that he wants to plug, you're in the news cycle where I miss that with the Saints. Like Dennis Allen, like maybe he'll be good. Maybe he'll figure it out and he'll be a decent coach. But like it's fun. Like I love the circus. Like, and all these teams are like, we don't want Hard Knocks. I'm like, get out of here. Like, I want Hard Knocks.
100%.
God, yes. It's fun. Like, the Saints are just, it's just entertainment. It's just basically for 99% of us, a TV show we watch.
The thing about it, too, is the whole, you know, the Jets, we don't want to make the cutting part a part of it because it's too personal. Here's the thing. I would actually argue against it from this standpoint in favor of it, rather.
Mm-hmm.
You and I know this, okay? By being in locker rooms, we do see the humanistic side of it. And Ralph, yeah. I do think a lot of times, and I rip Matt Moscona and fans and Saints fans and everybody else that get bent out of shape. At the end of the day, it's a game. At the end of the day, you don't get an absolute dime if they win. You don't get a ring. You get the opportunity to purchase a shirt,
mm-hmm.
now a higher marked up seat. Your suite's going to cost more. The more they win and the more they win championships, that is now going to be a new section of the state. Like, you don't get anything when a team wins, but we will act like it's absolutely life or death.
Mm-hmm.
And what's crazy about it is you forget one important thing, which is why. And I understand in the South, this is sacrilegious for me to say. I could care less about signing day. I legitimately don't understand the fact that literally throughout the season, the day after a Saints game, the NBA, like, and I will say this, I'll tell it to Matt, I'll tell it to anybody that's doing it. The fact that you have people on the show telling you about a sophomore, a freshman in high school, and that's an entire segment about what they're doing is an absolute waste of time.
I can't stand signing day.
No one's seen them. One has seen them. And you will have all these fans, whatever university. Now, I'm not just picking on LSU. It's Ohio State. It's all you guys that sit there and be like, that's my dude. That's my guy. You haven't seen a single play. You don't know what he does. If he got a B in geology, if he ate Crispitos at Brother Mike, you literally don't know the kid. And you love him because he signed for you.
Well,
and
you love him because of reports.
And he has that thing
five-star.
Where he does the whole hat thing and he chooses somewhere else. You will mother bleep him in a that's second right. on Twitter. And when he comes on campus and it's this first play and he gives up a completion or a touchdown, can't get a sack and can't block anybody, you will call for him to be benched and bring in the other kid. Can't stand him. And you mother bleep him too. And you go after his family. I mean, seriously, like the kid that was here that went to A&M or whatever, man, that, you know, I mean, it was unbelievable. He beats Florida one year. The next year, he literally can't drop back because at UCLA, he gets sacked every 5 seconds in Gannon. And you're like, he sucks. I'm like, he can't drop back.
He's getting killed. And here,
and you hate him. And like the vitriol that comes off. I mean, it's just incredible. So I just can't do it, dude. I can't
do it. The thing with signing day that I produced Richard Condon, his sports show in Baton Rouge. He was number one FM. He was the guy famous for wanting to fight Jamie Howard after his 5 interception Auburn game. So Richard Conn is like an icon in Baton Rouge. But then when I was working with him, he did AM Sports. And his thing about signing day is like, I know it's important, and I know you have to stack recruiting classes on top of each other to be good. And he's like, sure. I know you, the more 5 stars you have, even back then, it's like teams that get in the top 10, like you stack 2, 3, 4 of them on each other. It matters. He's like, I know that. But he's like, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, I can't follow the day-to-day, the week-to-week of like where they're going, what they're thinking, who's leading the charge. Like, he's like, because they change their mind every freaking day about anything. And he's like, get me to sign in day. We'll deal with it once it's signed in it. But he's like, I'm not following it day-to-day. And that was one of the things at the station he would do like one recruiting segment a week. And they were like, dude, you got to do it more and more because that's what people want. And he's like, I don't care. I hate it. And I'm number one at the station. Go fly a kite. We're not doing it. And I'd be like, gee, they want me to ask you to do it. He's like, I'm not doing it. And I was like, yeah. And by the way, Richard Condon, if you listen to him in Baton Rouge, that like, as far as like the most fun job that I ever had, that was the most fun. Like, I would have to get up at 5 in the morning, but it was the most fun because people thought he was insane in how he did the show, and his show felt like it was unscripted madness. But he would start at 7 in the morning and go from 7 to 11. He would get up at 3 and he would do an hour of prep for every hour he was on the air. And I would be like, you're insane. People think that they're like, he doesn't work as hard as the other people. And it was like total. I'm like, you don't understand. Like, he works way harder than any other person you listen to. Condon works harder than them all. He works and he has to set up so he can make it seem like he's just talking out of his out of his backside. But it's complete work. But we got to get to the sink because I was going to say,
Ralph, because I mean, it's funny, right before we get to it, you get it and I get it too all the time. I love when people tell me, you just work 3 hours a day.
No, I work like four hours a day on this podcast. Yeah,
exactly. That's all I do. I just show up and talk for 3 hours. Gotcha. If they only knew.
Because here's the thing. Here's the secret. When you do sports radio, you got to prepare like you're not going to get any calls at all.
Right.
And the thing is, some shows that are like iconic, like Feinbaum, are about the callers, and the callers have their own little like cult following, and like even Jim Rome to a certain extent, but most of the time, people don't listen to a sports talk show because of the callers. They listen because they want to listen to. They listen because they like. For me, I want to listen to you. I want to listen to Gus Kattengill, right? So you got to prepare. Like, you're not going to get a freaking phone call. That's when what somebody told
106.1, and we'll get to the team here. Just give me 30 seconds.
Go ahead.
When I became the sports director at 106.1 and they were a Cumulus and all that, I met with the guy that started syndication for Rush Limbaugh, Hannity. I'm not talking political here. Let me talk about syndication. Mm-hmm. And you can't argue what they do in syndication. And he we looked at me. He's like, it's 7 to 9 minutes. Your average time span, if somebody has that. Reset, repeat, your thing. He gave me little tidbits on that. And he goes, by the way, I hate phone calls. and he goes, why are you having somebody that didn't go to practice, doesn't cover the team, doesn't know the players, doesn't know the coach, has no idea what you do? Did you go to school for this? Did you do that? Do you cover this? It's like, this is your profession? Are you at the game? Is that person there? Like, so why is he on? And that's how I approach my show. Like, Mondays and Fridays are perfect, right? Like, that's my caller-driven sort of day where tell me what you saw on Saturday and Sunday of those games. Who's the play of the day? Who needs to be benched? Fire this guy, whatever. Friday, what's my headline? What's my key? Give me a score, those things. The rest of the day and week, I don't need a caller. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but we're the ones that are actually talking about it, and we understand those things. So, I just look at it from that perspective, and the people that you and I listen to, and I don't know who you listen to, but there's probably a guy or a lady or a show that when something happens in that realm, whether it's politics, whether it's sports, whether it's science, whether it's whatever, you can't wait for that next show to hear that person's opinion on
That's
it.
Right.
You and know, I, like I know when it's like LeBron in the Lakers, I can't wait for Colin Cowherd because he's going to go bananas on it. Right. I mean, just like I'm looking forward to that day when that happens. If there's a, you know, the day after the election, I'm turning Limbaugh on one way, shape or form to hear him go nuts one way, shape or form. Yeah. Just like that. Yeah. That's to me, it's about who you're listening to. How is Stern? Same thing.
And I think too, you know, it's like with you, I know you're a Cubs fan, right? So like if they do a bunch of stuff and they trade a bunch of trade us Bellinger to the Astros, trade us this, or like something happens with the Cubs, or because I know you went to Brother Martin, I want to hear a personal connection. And I feel like that's what our podcast, they know of like these UDFAs that are our UDFA sons or what we drink or what we care about, our little pet peeves about the Saints. And they will tweet at us and be in our Discord and be like, this happened with the Saints. I want to hear what Ralph has to say about this. I want to hear what Dave has to say about Mark Ingram running out of bounds because Mark Ingram is Dave's boyfriend.
That's how I tease you. That's how I tease you when you're coming on. I can't wait to hear Ralph on this.
And it's if you create a personal connection with people in 2023, you're successful. That's why your show is so good. Like those of us that listen to you either, you know, I try to listen up later and streaming and all that because I'm in Houston, but you get a personal connection.